This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
And you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Coming up next, Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Thank you, Mike and Company, and Byron and Company. And hear you next week. Stay tuned. Let me first tell people that we're chatting with James Spalding, and this is Sugar in My Bowl, and my name's Joyce Jones, and we started off the year together. Remembering Freddie Hubbard.
Remember the Hub, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to spend the evening with you.
In this cold winter. Oh, God, I can't believe it.
It's been warm for so long, we weren't accustomed to this cold winterness. So, yeah, we started off the year with you, and so I thought it would be fitting to end the year with more of you.
Okay.
Since we had started off the year, we were talking about Freddie Hubbard, and you were correcting me on my misunderstanding of you and Freddie Hubbard coming to New York together.
Oh, right, right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Freddie, he had left for New York before I did. I stopped off in Chicago.
Right, and that's where you played with Sun Ra.
That's where I worked with Sun Ra, met Sun Ra, met Jerry Butler, recorded with him.
Yes.
Iceman.
Now, actually, let me start off by saying that when we were talking about you leaving with Freddie Hubbard, that would be leaving Indianapolis, Indiana.
Leaving Indianapolis.
Right. And you said you went to Chicago. Now, were you playing with the Impressions? How did that go? I mean, from what I was reading, you were playing with R&B bands, you were playing with Jerry Butler, and you were playing with Curtis Mayfield. So does that mean that you were playing with the Impressions?
No. What happened was when I left the Army, I got out of the Army in 1957, mm-hmm. and I went back home to get my head together from the Army scene, and mm-hmm. I went to Chicago, and then I enrolled in school up there, the Cosmopolitan School of Music at the time, which is no longer there anymore.
What kind of school was that? I mean, was it a...
It was one of the first schools that they had a jazz program, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, they taught piano, and I had a flute teacher. That was my mm-hmm. first flute teacher I ever had. His name was Emil Eck. He played in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Oh.
And his flute, he had the most beautiful sound on his flute.
Hmm.
And he gave me some flute lessons, which I still remember. I was smoking cigarettes like crazy during that period, and he told me to stop smoking,
yeah.
And I stopped, of course.
Uh-huh.
And he encouraged me to stay with, and I learned piano there. I had a piano teacher, and then we had a band that we put together to play jazz. And Bobby Bryant. You ever heard of Bobby Bryant?
No, who's player? Bobby Bryant? No, flute player?
Trumpet, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No.
He's passed on now.
I see.
Yeah, and he used to write for Della Reese. You've heard of her?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
He used to write when he moved out to California. He was actually my first teacher learning chord changes. Learning the structural formation of chords, you know? That helped me structure my solos and how to play before I met Sun Ra, even.
Oh, okay.
So that gave me an idea of that formation before I got into the free form of playing.
Mm.
Which, you know, I'm into now. I can do both now. I stayed with my cousin, and I was, like, paying rent there. She had gotten me a little job during the day working for the Social Security office.
Okay.
Believe that? You know, I was pulling wage cards for unemployment.
Wow.
And that kept me going. I got a little money in my pocket, and then I had enrolled at the music school there, the Cosmopolitan.
Mm-hmm.
I had my GI Bill check coming in. I was, you know, so I was doing pretty good, you know, work-wise. And I had a chance to get around Chicago. I borrowed my cousin's car so I could drive around Chicago and go to these different clubs that were happening during that time. And jam sessions, which were very plentiful at the time, 57, 58, 59. And during that period, I ran into Jerry Butler for a record day. They were looking for a flute player, the A&R man of the Chess Records, I believe it was. I forget his name. They found out there was a flute player in town, and I was pretty good on flute, and they called me for this session called Lost. My name was going around. You know how musicians talk. He said,
right.
I am. Then I met Sun Ra and John Gilmore and all these guys at a jam session. They were all down at this place in the Pershing Hotel. It was in the basement of the Pershing Hotel where Ahmad Jamal did his famous Poinciana recording date, you know. It was early in the morning. They called breakfast jams, they called them.
Mm-hmm.
Musicians would get off of their gigs and come down there and have breakfast and have jam sessions, and we'd meet and exchange numbers and so what, you know, whatever. And That's how I met John Gilmore and Pat. And they approached me. They came over and told me, would you like to rehearse with Sunrise Band? I said, sure. Who is Sunrise? Who is it? I said, yeah, all right. So they called me, and I gave them the address. Uh-huh. They told me to come be there at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock or something, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And I made it over there and met Sunrise, shook his hand, and we all sat down and started getting into the music right away.
Excellent.
No time wasted.
Great. Just so you know, you're listening to Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones, and I will be having a conversation with James Spalding, flutist, saxophonist, alto saxophone in particular. And right now, I hate to even interrupt this, but got to find those moments where I can get them. We're listening to Sun Ra right now. Ancient Ethiopia, A-I-E-T-H-O-P-I-A, and let's see, this is from Jazz and Silhouette, which was released in 1959, Evidence label, Sun Ra on piano, Marshall Allen on flute, alto sax, Ronnie Boinkins on bass, William Bugs Cochran on drums, Charles Davis on baritone sax, Hobart Dotson on trumpet, John Gilmore on tenor sax, Pat Patrick on flute and baritone sax and other places, Julian Priester on trombone, and our special guest, James Spalding on flute and alto sax, and of course the ever genius Sun Ra on piano. So let's go back to... Oh, and before that, we heard Lost by Jerry Butler, which was from The Iceman Cometh, which was released in 1968 on the VJ record label. So let's go back to Sun Ra and more James Spalding. Stay tuned. This is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
And we start traveling, and I worked with Sonny Thompson's Rhythm and Blues Band during the same period.
Oh, okay. Now, before we leave Sun Ra,
okay,
because that I wasn't aware of, that you had played with Sun Ra and the orchestra. Were you living at the, did they have that sort of compound thing going on in Chicago? I know they had it in Philadelphia.
And yeah, no, I didn't make that scene.
Okay, okay.
I was already living with my cousin at the time. And
what was your experience with being with the Sun Ra Orchestra? Now, I understand you played sort of like session dates, I guess.
Yeah, there was a couple of sessions. John Gilmore and Pat Patrick, and it was Charles Davis in the band.
Right. Were you playing flute back then?
Played flute and Allison.
Okay, okay. Well, I also noticed that Marshall Allen was also playing
Marshall Allen. Yeah, he was there. He was one of Sunrod's favorites, you know, on the alto and flute.
Right. So what was that like? I mean, how was that, being with somebody doing the same thing you were doing, I guess?
Oh, well, Sunrod, it didn't bother me. It's because the music, everything was new and fresh. And
I
made it so that we would not be stuck in any boredom of playing anything that would get stale. In other words, we kept everything fresh and alive and creative, and, you know, we... at rehearsals and at the recording sessions, he said, try to play. He would always tell us, don't play anything that you already know. Play something new, he would tell us, you know. Don't play the same thing you play, you know, on this one. And we would all attempt to do this, and this was my first experience of playing this way, and so it gave me another approach of playing free. You know, they call it free improvisation. At the time, they didn't call it that, but... this was the idea that Sunrod wanted to have with the band. He had written charts already. He had music written out.
Uh-huh.
And he could just sit down and write out the parts for each of these instruments. You know, alto, trumpet, tenor, and baritone sax, and, you know.
Thank you. Did he also write the solos, or were you free to go?
No. Like I said, like the solos were definitely spontaneous.
Okay.
You would have to create something fresh on top of what he wanted, you know?
Ah.
He didn't want you to play anything that was familiar that, you know, that I had already come to, you know, thinking about Charlie Parker and Dexter Gordon. I was thinking about all the heavyweights, like Johnny Griffin was already in Chicago during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted you to always create something, you know, new. You know, that was the my remembrance of him and his approach to this music.
I understood you, if I have this correctly, you started on alto sax, and then you went into flute.
Well, back in Indianapolis, at Christmas Addicts High School, we had a band director called Mr. Russell Brown. He's passed on now. He was Christmas Addicts High School was all students of African ancestry, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the teacher who brought in the jazz arrangements, stock arrangements they called them then. Music already written out by, you know, Count Basie and different people. And I was developing my reading at home. I was able to read pretty good, so that kind of gave me a little head start in interpreting and the music and the syncopation that it involved. And it started me out with alto, and then I picked up the clarinet in school. We were able to check out different instruments, you know, in the band room.
I understood you also played trumpet for a moment.
I had the bugle. My father brought a bugle when I was five.
Oh, wow.
Plastic army, you know, one of those olive drab plastic trumpets.
Oh, my goodness.
And I used to drive everybody crazy playing it around the house, you know. Get out of here with that thing, you know. And then later on in grade school, I had a trumpet I was able to get hold of. And I tried the trumpet. And then I went back to the flute and the tonette at the time.
No, did you say tonette?
Tonette, yeah.
Oh my lord!
I learned how to read music with the tonette in grade school.
Well, it came with instructions too, didn't it?
It had you try that. Yeah.
They had it when I was in school as well.
Yeah, they had tonettes for all the students to pass them out with the instructions.
Yes.
We had a teacher that would stand in front of us and show us the fingering and write on the blackboard the notes and the time signatures. And
oh, my goodness.
That was my real first experience in learning how to read.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a friend of mine who had a saxophone. He was going to sell it. It was alto.
Mm.
He wanted to sell it. He didn't want to play anymore. He sold it to me for $10.
Oh.
I was able to get hold of it. Enough money I saved, and I bought it from him.
Oh, wow.
And I had a friend who played the piano and the saxophone and the bassoon, and he showed me the fingering, and I would go by his house, and he would help me get into the saxophone that way. And I was able to start learning how to, you know, interpret the music and read, whatever. And then I was able to get a flute. I checked out a flute. Then my teacher at the time, he wanted me to play the clarinet. I had to play the clarinet because they didn't have too many clarinets in the band. So I got into the clarinet and the marching band, and then I was able to read to be put into the senior orchestra as a sophomore. My first year in high school, I would read European classical music and read marches and whatnot, and I was in the woodwind quintet playing flute, and they put me into the orchestra playing the flute. So in other words, I spent all my time in the band room. So I had to, they asked me to leave school. My grades were getting too bad.
Oh no!
Well, I quit anyway. I wanted to stay in the band room and just play music all day.
Ah.
So I went into the army at the age of 17. As soon as I turned 17, I joined the army with my father's help, helping me sign me into the special services.
Now, did you play while you were in the Army?
Yes. Okay. After the 8 weeks of basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, I was able to finish that and go out to... They sent me out to California, to Fort Ord, for band training. So I was able to play and pass an audition they presented to me to get into that band.
Huh.
And I was the only black in the band during that period also. So I had to be on my toes. In order to read this music and be able to follow instructions and the discipline that they had out there for all the musicians that came out there.
Wow.
So So that was about 3 or 4 months I stayed out there until they shipped me back to Indianapolis to the 35th Army Band.
Now, were you playing flute for the
band? I was playing flute. I was playing alto.
Oh.
After they shipped me back to Indianapolis, I got into this band out there. So I passed the audition there. So I was not too far from Indianapolis. I could drive back and forth from the base. Out at Fort Harrison, it was called. It was the Army Finance Center based out there during that period. And they had a jazz band out there, so I got into that band. That's where I met Freddie at a jam session in Indianapolis when I went there on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh.
At the Hub, and he and I just hooked up right away.
Talking over this solo, Freddie Hubbard, Hubtones. This is the title cut from the 1962 Blue Note recording. And Freddie Hubbard, of course, on trumpet. James Spaulding on alto sax and flute on others. Herbie Hancock on piano. Reggie Workman, another guest of Sugar in My Bowl, who was on earlier this year, on bass. Clifford Jarvis on drums. And before that, we heard Star Time, another Sun Ra recording. This is from, it's a twofer, The Nubians of Plutonia, Angels and Demons at Play. And I'd like to thank Hank Williams for that recording. I got it from his collection. It was released in 1959 on the Evidence record label. Marshall Allen on flute and alto sax. Robert Barry on percussion. Ronnie Boykins on bass. Phil Corin on trumpet. Charles Davis on baritone sax, John Gilmore on tenor sax and bells, James Herndon on timbales, Pat Patrick on baritone sax, Nate Pryor on trombone, Sun Ra on piano, of course, and electric piano, Luscious Randolph on trumpet, and James Spaulding on alto sax, and was also James Spaulding on the alto sax solo. Woohoo! Stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl and James Spaulding. And if you'd like, you can call the studio at 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. If you'd like a playlist, you can email me at sugarinmybowl@gmail.com. Sugar, S-U-G-A, in my bowl, @gmail.com. Stay tuned.
come by. In fact, I found out we were living on the same block. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness, really?
I was on the 1900 of Yandy Street in Indianapolis, and He was on the 1500 block in Yandy Street.
Wow.
He was living with his mother up at the time, and Wes Montgomery, we could see Wes Montgomery working out of his window. He worked for the milk company. Wes was back there lifting crates of milk, putting one on trucks during that period.
Oh, wow.
Wes Montgomery, oh, yes. He would hear us up there practicing, and Freddie's mother used to cook for us. She could really cook, boy. And he would come by my place and practice. My mother would cook. He would come out to the Army base out there at Fort Harrison, and he would play with the Army band with us.
Oh.
I had Hampton. I had Slide out there.
Okay.
Asked him to come out there and bring his arrangements, because he was writing then. He was writing big band arrangements then, you know.
Wow.
And he, like, taught himself how to write like that. He never went to school for that, you know. It was an amazing time during that period. Let's see, in 54, 55, 56, I got out of the Army in 57, right?
Uh-huh.
Most of that time, it was just playing music and jamming and enjoying the music and just meeting new musicians, and it was a great period. Freddie and Larry Ridley was there. I met Larry. Well, actually, Larry and I went to grade school together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were in grade school for a period, a short time.
Well, I understood all three of you were in Freddie's band.
Well, that
in Indianapolis.
Actually, you know, what happened was that at this jam session, I met Freddie on a Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
where all the musicians would come by and just jam
mm-hmm.
at a place called the Cotton Club. So I heard Freddie playing. I said, wow, you know, and he heard me. He liked the way I played, and a lot of different musicians would come and set in and jam, and then we exchanged phone numbers and whatnot, and we said, let's get together, man, and learn some Charlie Parker songs. That's the first thing I told him. I asked him, and he said, okay. And then Larry would come on the scene and play the bass, and then I had the idea of pulling us together, put a band together, and calling us the Jazz Contemporaries.
Oh.
That was Larry Ridley's idea, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, we were all together going out to set in with Wes Montgomery, the group, and his brothers. They played at a club called the Turf Club, way out on route going out to Chicago. We would go out there every Saturday and jam out there with Wes and them, and then go back into town to a place called George's Bar and jam there.
Mm.
Jam session, then we would jam at the Cotton Club. It was so many places you could play, you know, and it's not like it is now, you know.
Yeah, that's something that I always get around to talking to musicians about, the difference between then and now. It seems as though the university is the only place to go. You know, there aren't as many clubs where you had an opportunity to work out your skill.
Yeah, or just enjoying playing the music and meeting other musicians.
Right, right.
That was the greatest thing about that.
I wanted to ask, since you mentioned as part of your request for your bandmates to learn Charlie Parker songs, was Charlie Parker your influence?
Oh, yes. My father used to bring home these recordings. In fact, I remember the record very well. Boy label called Shaw Nuff, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach. And I think it was Charles Mingus on bass. I think it was Bud Powell on piano, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you. that record that was on a 78, and my father would play it on our little record player, and then I used to ask him, I told my dad, Dad, I want to play like that.
Mm.
You know? He said, wow, well, you have to, you'd have to study, you know, mm-hmm. you'd have to practice, you have to do this and that. You know, he had retired by this time. He used to play the guitar professionally.
Oh, really?
During the time, I was the third child of seven of us actually ended up with. But at the time, the gigs were getting slow and things was, you know, kind of drying up around there for him. So he would bring home these recordings of Duke Ellington, Count Basie, you know, all the musicians, Lester Young. Oh, so I had a chance at my age. I think I was 10 years old during that time. I was able to hear all this music and really soak it in and decide if I wanted to, you know, continue and play this music. And he encouraged me. My mother was a very church, you know, going a mother, and she, mm-hmm. she's our foundation, you know, kept us together.
Mm-hmm.
Sustenance of food, of course, and
sure.
He was working. He had to stop playing. He worked as an insurance man. He worked later on as a janitor in one of the schools there in Indianapolis.
By the way, did you ever have to play in church?
No, I never played in church.
Okay.
Yeah, during that period.
I
was already playing out with older musicians.
I see.
My father knew these older musicians, and he said, well, my son can read, you know, why try him, you know.
Oh, great.
I was like the youngest guy in the band, big, you know, these big bands that they had during that period. I was around 11, 12.
Wow.
You know, I could read. That was the main thing.
Sure.
I was able to get that together pretty well.
Listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. My name is Joyce Jones, and the program you're listening to is Sugar in My Bowl, which airs, as of now, every third Tuesday morning at 2 a.m. And let's see what we've heard thus far. What we're listening to right now is Wayne Shorter, another former guest of Sugar in My Bowl. Tom Thumb is the name of this recording. It's from Schizophrenia, which was released in 1967 on the Blue Note record label. Wayne Shorter on tenor sax. Ron Carter on bass. Joe Chambers on drums. Curtis Fuller on trombone. Herbie Hancock on piano. And James Spaulding on flute. Not on this recording, but alto sax. And before that, we heard Shaw Nuff. Which was released in 1945 by Dizzy Gillespie. This particular recording was from a compilation, Dizzy Gillespie Odyssey, 1945 to 1952, released in 2002 on the Savoy label. Dizzy Gillespie trumpet, Charlie Parker alto sax. That's what's happening on this lineup. I know James Spaulding was referring to some other, but this is what they're saying is happening on this recording. Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet, Charlie Parker on alto sax, Al Haig on piano, Curly Russell on bass, and Sid Collette on drums. And I think we're current. Let's go back to James Spaulding solo on Tom Thumb. From Wayne Shorter's Schizophrenia. Once again, you are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. Thank you. You could do it all, it seems. I mean, you can. You seem to be very versatile.
Well, I mean, I'm still learning. God, it's so much. Every time I look at these books I have here, I say, oh, let me go ahead on and just keep working on this stuff.
Well, the fact that you are versatile seemed to be of major benefit at Blue Note.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Freddie brought me over there on that record date, Hubtones. Yeah, that was my first record date with Blue Note, and I think Duke Pearson was the A&R man during that period.
Oh, okay.
Was putting together musicians and...
And you also recorded with Duke Pearson.
Yes, he called me for a couple of his dates. Thank you. And after that, you know, my phone was just ringing all the time, you know, to do dates during that period. I got married in 63.
Yay. To Gene.
Being here, we're still together.
Yay.
46 years here. Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. So, Then after, you know, like I said, dates were coming in, Wayne Shorter, McCoy Tyner, you know, Bobby Hutcherson.
And Bobby Hutcherson, who you'll be with in January.
Next month, yeah.
At Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola.
Yeah, on the 13th. I think it's five nights, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and there will be a ticket giveaway. I'll be giving away a pair of tickets.
Oh, okay.
The Wednesday evening.
Well, you know who's in the band, right? You know who's playing, right?
Why don't you tell the listeners who will be there?
You know, Cedar Walton on piano.
Oh, wow.
We have Al Foster on drums.
Oh, my goodness.
David Wims on the bass.
Okay.
And there's Bobby and myself.
Wow, excellent.
Yeah, they start early, too, over there. Yeah. I think they start at 7:30 and 9:30, right. I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen Bobby since we played with Freddie. Where was it? The Iridium.
Oh, Freddie.
When we were all at the Iridium together.
Oh, wow.
Worked together with Bobby, Freddie, and David Weiss, who had the band, Freddie's music there.
Exactly. I noticed you recorded with Bobby on Patterns.
Patterns. Oh, yeah, that was one of his pieces. I don't even have that CD.
You know, I had to look really hard for it and pay a little bit for it, too.
Oh, I'm going to get a CD. I used to have the LP.
Ah, yes.
Owned it. I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. I can't find it around here. I think Joe Chambers, right?
Yes.
On drums?
Yes. And Joe Chambers still around, thank goodness.
Yeah, he's teaching school, you know. He's down in, where is he? Where is he in North Carolina? He and his wife both are teaching school.
And Reggie Workman was on bass.
Reggie Workman?
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Reggie Workman was a guest on Sugar My Bowl this year.
Oh, yeah. He's fabulous always.
And Stanley Cowell on piano.
Yeah, he was with Max when that time I was working with Max Roach.
You wrote a song on Patterns, A Time to Go.
A Time to Go, right.
That was a tribute to Martin Luther King, Jr.?
That was a dedication to Dr. King. It was actually just Time to Go. I don't know why they put A Time to Go. It wasn't. So it was just Time to Go. It was a slow ballad piece that I wrote for Dr. King. And it had lyrics that Jolie Wilson put some lyrics to that.
Oh. I hate to interrupt this beautiful song, A Time to Go, but as I mentioned, I will be giving away a pair of tickets for to see Bobby Hutcherson. Actually, they're referring to it as the Jazz Masters Quintet. That is, as James Spalding had mentioned, Bobby Hutcherson, Cedar Walton, David Williams, and James Spalding. Oh, James Spalding and Al Foster, yes. And this is going to be for Wednesday, the 13th of January. One pair of tickets. Need you to call, or you will need to call, 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. Unfortunately, I have to read back what happened. Let's see. Where was I now? Oh, goodness. Yes. A Time to Go. And it's from Patterns, as mentioned, from 1968. Bobby Hutcherson on vibraphone. Joe Chambers on drums. Stanley Cowell on piano. Actually, it's produced by Duke Pearson and Francis Wolf. James Spalding is on flute, whom I am speaking over right now, and alto sax. Reggie Workman on bass. Before that, we heard Sweet Honey Bee, the title cut, from the release that was in... this is Duke Pearson's release that was released in 1966. Duke Pearson on piano, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, James Spalding on alto sax and flute. He was on flute on that recording. Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Ron Carter on bass, and Mickey Roker on drums. And once again, you'll need to call 212-209-2900. Oh boy, look at all the people who are awake. during the fun drive, you need to be awake too. All right, stay tuned. Okay, everybody, I am so sorry. The tickets have gone to... I should have asked them whether it was okay for me to mention. But I'll just say, my buddy Austin, I am so glad you called. We don't know each other. I mean, we met. As a matter of fact, we met at Tony Short's homegoing service. So I'm glad the tickets are going to someone who listened to Tony Short. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. And if you'd like, you can call 212-209-2900, just because. Was it recorded with the lyrics?
No.
Oh.
Never was. But I had different vocalists to try to sing it, you know. Mm-hmm. Had those lyrics, Julie. Came by the house that next day. Dr. King was assassinated. That next day, I was feeling so out of it. Freddie and I, we were working together at a place called the Blue Carnet in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Fulton
Let
Street.
Me first tell people that
when we heard that Dr.
James
King was killed, and I called Freddie. I said, Freddie, are we going to work, man? And everybody was in the house crying. It was so sad. He said, yeah, man, I think we better go and, you know, make this gig. That same night, it was hard. It was a nightmare on that street that night, you know. And the club was practically empty.
Yeah.
We played anyway. And I called the next day after the gig. I called Joe Lee to come by and put some lyrics to a song that I had written for Dr. King. And he rode his bicycle all the way from the village all the way to my house.
Wow.
On his bike. And we sat down at my piano and he put the lyrics to it. Beautiful lyrics, too. I will eventually record it on my label.
Yeah.
Eventually. So I wrote a suite around that.
Oh.
I wrote about 9 pieces for Dr. King. It's called The Song of Courage Suite.
Yes. Okay. What we're hearing in the background is Song of Courage, James Balding. It's the title cut from the 1993 Muse Records recording. James Balding on alto sax, on flute on other recordings. Roland Alexander on tenor sax. Tyrone Jefferson on trombone. Kenny Barron on piano. Ray Drummond on bass. And Louis Hayes on drums. And as I mentioned, the tickets have been given away. And, yay, Austin. And, well, there's still more Sugar My Bowl to hear. And stay tuned. Oh, by the way, if you did not win the tickets, if you are not Austin, you can go to www.jalc.org/DCCC for Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola and check out the calendar of events. As a matter of fact, there's a holiday thing going on. Goodness. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yeah, there's, my goodness, Paquito de Rivera and the Brazilian Dream are going to be there from the 28th through January 3rd. Oh, New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is all sorts of, you know, you just have to go to the site. Marcus Roberts Trio is there between now, the 21st and the 27th. Marcus Roberts will be with Rodney Jordan and Jason Morales. So, check it out. www.jalc.org/DCCC. And you are listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and also streaming live at www.wbai.org. This is Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones, and stay for more with James Balding.
at Rutgers University out at New Brunswick when I put some of the parts together, pieces together. I had Avery Brooks singing. Avery Brooks is of Star Trek fame. Right?
Yes, and before that, what was that, the detective?
Hawk.
Hawk, yes. You recorded one with a couple with Sam Rivers, actually.
With Sam Rivers? Good Lord.
Yes.
He's in his 80s.
Wow.
He's probably into his 90s now.
Oh, goodness.
And he's close to 90, and he's still playing strong, I heard.
Excellent.
I think he's down in Florida. I believe he lives down there.
Well, you were on Dimensions and Extensions.
Dimensions and Extensions.
Yeah.
At first they called it Involution.
Oh, really?
Involution. I couldn't find that word in the dictionary either. He made up, I imagine. Sam Rivers,
I had Donald Byrd on trumpet.
Donald Byrd on trumpet.
You on, you were playing alto sax and flute on
flute.
That recording. Julian Priester on trombone.
Julian Priester.
Cecil McBee on bass. And Steve Ellington on drums.
Steve Ellington, good Lord.
Thank you.
I don't have that CD album either. I'm going to have to see if I can get me a CD. These Blue Note people. I have so many CDs I need to ask them.
You probably should. You should get right on that, and they should just give them to you.
Well, definitely ask them. Wow, yeah, that was a good day, too.
Now, you played with, you mentioned you played with Wayne Shorter.
Wayne Shorter, oh, God.
Wayne Shorter.
Three recordings with Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yep, that is true. You played, you were on Soothsayer. I think that's another one with you and Freddie Hubbard.
And Freddie was on that one?
That's right.
Freddie was on Soothsayer.
Yeah. Talking over stuff, but gotta let you know what's going on. So what you're listening to now is Soothsayer. No, I didn't. You know, that is so funny. Soothsayer. No, actually, no, the big push from the Soothsayer. The Soothsayer is a 1965 Blue Note recording. By Wayne Shorter. Wayne Shorter on tenor sax. There he is now. Ron Carter on bass. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. James Spaulding on alto sax. McCoy Tyner on piano. And Tony Williams on drums. Before that, we heard Involution. Sam Rivers recording. That's from Involution. Well, originally titled Involution. The re-release was called Dimensions and Extensions. The original recording was a two-album set that was released in 1976. The re-release, the album, was actually one of the two albums, the first of the two albums, and it was released in 1998, both on the Blue Note label. Sam Rivers on flute for this particular recording, and James Spaulding on flute for this recording. Cecil McBee on bass and Steve Ellington on drums. Also on other recordings on this release is Walter Booker on bass on other recordings. Donald Byrd on trumpet and Julian Priester on trombone. But, yeah, so that was Involution. Isn't that funky? Anyway, okay, let's go back to The Big Push by Wayne Shorter. And we can continue to listen to Wayne Shorter solo. This is Sugar in My Bowl. Now it's Freddie Hubbard. Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My name's Joyce Jones. You can give me a call if you're still awake at 212-209-2900. But perhaps you should be listening to The Exchange. But anyway... Stay tuned. Freddie Hubbard did a lot of work together.
Well, I mean, that first date, he brought me on that date. Hubstones, that opened up a whole... Like I said, my phone was, you know, was ringing all the time to come in and do a recording with, you know, Wayne or whoever, you know, Duke.
Right.
And, shoot, man. Yeah, that was exciting. The 60s, the early 60s, 60s, let's see, 64, 65, 66.
Right, right.
Up to 67.
Yeah.
I think Train passed away in 67, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that was a sad time when that happened. I just had met Train out at the Village Vanguard one night. He had finished playing. Freddie and I ran down there from a gig we were playing. I can't remember, but we ran down there, and Train was at the bar. And I ran over to him. I said, oh, man, I wanted to meet him. So I said, can I like to come by and meet, you know, and talk to you. And he said, okay. He wrote out his phone number and his address.
Wow.
He lived out here in Queens, where I'm at now.
Excellent.
He lived out here. He told me to call him first before I come out there. And he was so nice and so, you know, soft-spoken, you know. And he gave me his address and phone number, and that made my night, just, you know, to get his phone number and stuff, you know.
Wow.
Meet him, because he had heard about me already, the recordings, evidently.
Did you get anything from having listened to him?
Oh, God. I first seen him back in 57 when he...
Wow.
In Chicago when he was recording with Miles.
Okay.
Oh, God, I said, wow.
Was there one recording that really stood out?
Oh, Dexterity.
Oh.
With Paul Chambers on bass.
Thank you.
when I first heard him, it was like listening to Johnny Griffin. Johnny Griffin was really my, you know, that really sparked me up when I heard his first recording.
Which one was that?
Chicago Calling.
To interrupt. Oh, goodness. So this is what's happening here. We're listening to... What are we listening? Oh, Chicago Calling. Johnny Griffin. From Introducing Johnny Griffin. It's a 1956 Blue Note release. Johnny Griffin on tenor sax. Wynton Kelly on piano, whose solo I'm speaking over right now. Max Roach on drums. Curly Russell on bass. Before that, we heard Dexterity. John Coltrane from, now this recording is from Transition, the complete Paul Chambers. It was released in 1956 on the Impulse label. It's John Coltrane on tenor sax, Paul Chambers on bass, Philly Joe Jones on drums and Kenny Drew on piano. And, okay, we're up to date. Let's get back to Johnny Griffin and more James Spalding. My name's Joyce Jones. You're listening to Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
And I said, good Lord, I said, the man. In fact, I had a chance to go see him perform at a place called The Flame, Chicago. I met his mother where I was working at this Social Security office.
Oh.
His mother was working right across the hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, Johnny Griffin's mother works right across. I said, oh, yeah. So I ran over and I met her. I said, where is he playing? You know, where can I see him? You know?
Uh-huh.
She gave me his phone number. He was married at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be playing at this place called The Flame. And I went down to The Flame to see him play. God, now I sat at the bar and watched him play. I couldn't believe it, you know.
Wow.
It made me almost want to quit. He was playing so fast, you know.
Wow.
All the saxophone players, you know, everybody that were in Chicago, George Coleman, everybody had heads up when he would come on the scene. So, I've been definitely inspired by the saxophone, the alto, and the tenor. Of course, I tried to play the tenor for a minute.
You recorded with Pharoah Sanders.
Oh, yeah, with Leon Thomas.
Yes.
That was a magical date. That was...
You were on Karma.
Karma, yeah. No music. We just came in there, and Pharoah just played some notes on his saxophone, and he said, play this, and I played that. And
really?
We just did the date.
I'm not going to play all 13 odd minutes of this song, but just to let you know, what you're listening to right now is The Creator Has a Master Plan, Pharoah Sanders' Karma, 1969 Impulse Recording. Pharoah Sanders on tenor sax, Leon Thomas, vocal and percussion, James Spalding on flute, Julius Watkins on French horn, somewhere, Lonnie Liston-Smith, Junior on piano, Richard Davis on bass, Reggie Workman on bass, depending on which recording, I guess, William Hart on drums, Nathaniel Bettis on percussion.
Armstrong, man, that was a highlight of my playing when I met him at this recording studio on his 71st birthday.
Oh.
At RCA Studios. Oliver Nelson was the arranger of the music. It was all strings, and I was the only flute on that date.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
With Louis Armstrong.
With Pop. Yeah,
wow.
He was just singing. He didn't play his trumpet, you know.
Okay.
The doctor told him not to play the trumpet because there was too much pressure on his heart. You know, so he just sang most of that date. If you remember, what was that song? Oh, God, what was that song?
The Creator Has a Master Plan?
Creator Has a Master Plan. He did some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
love will always shine. And rainbows are the shadows of a love that's so divine. And the glow of that love would light the sky up above, and it's free. Can't you see? Come with me.
The Creator is a master. Peace and happiness for every man. The Creator is a master. Peace and happiness for every man. The Creator, what you say. Peace and happiness for every man.
The main
Oh, What a Wonderful World?
Wonderful World, yeah. That was, he recorded that twice, I found out.
Oh.
He did two recordings, but the one that I love is with the strings, Oliver Nelson's arrangements, of course, on his 71st birthday. Miles Davis came walking in there. And
really?
Oh, Arnett Coleman, oh, a lot of musicians, and Tony Bennett.
Oh,
I remember that evening, and they had this giant cake with a trumpet on top of it.
Oh.
And they had food all over the place, and drinks, and oh, everybody just had a great time.
There were a lot of folks on that day.
I wasn't familiar with that you would play it on that.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on the flute. In fact, Oliver Nelson took one of my solos and arranged it.
Oh, okay.
Introduction from It's a Wonderful World.
Some of you young folks been saying to me, "Hey, Pops, what you mean, what a wonderful world? How about all them wars all over the place? You call them wonderful? And how about hunger and pollution? They ain't so wonderful either. But how about listening to old Pops for a minute? Seems to me it ain't the world that's so bad, but what we are doing to it. And all I'm saying is, see what a wonderful world it would be if only we'd give it a chance. Love, baby, love. That's the secret. Yeah. If lots more of us loved each other, we'd solve lots more problems. And man, this world would be a desert. That's why old Pops keep saying, I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed days, dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
first time I ever played with strings, man. It was just a wonderful feeling.
Wow.
Yeah, and on his birthday, on top of it. So it just made it, I'll never forget that day. After that, Pops passed away. Not too long after that. He was only 71 years old.
Wow.
I met his wife. Bob Field was the producer, and
yes.
Was on Flying Dutchman label.
And that was his label. Yes.
That was his label, right. Yeah, and he called me for a couple of dates.
Ah.
Just to play flute, he and Ron Carter and myself.
Oh, okay.
We did some stuff playing behind Roscoe. You remember Roscoe?
Oh, my goodness, the broadcaster.
Yeah.
Oh, he used to be on WBAI.
He used to be on BAI.
Yes.
Fabulous voice of his.
Yes, he was everywhere.
Oh,
he
man.
Great voice.
He would read a poem. He would tell stories about Vietnam.
You had mentioned that you had recorded with Leon Thomas.
Leon Thomas.
Yeah, the Spirits Known and Unknown.
That's right.
That was quite the lineup, because let's see,
yeah, there was Roy Haynes on drums,
Richard Davis on bass,
Diesel McPhee
on bass, Farrell Saunders
on
tenor sax, Lonnie Liston Smith on piano,
man,
yeah, and Richard Landrum on percussion.
Oh, Richard Landrum, yeah, he's passed on.
Okay.
Love one another, all the world could be as one. Just take time to love one another, all the world could be as one. Black man, white man, standing together, no more fighting to be done. Yellow, red man, dancing together, all the world could be as one.
To bring that down and talk over James Spalding solo. By the way, Farrell Saunders isn't on this particular recording. It's part of Spirits Known and Unknown. It was originally released in 1969. This I have from a Bluebird reissue. Leon Thomas on vocal and percussion. James Spalding on alto sax on this recording. Flute on others. Lonnie Liston Smith Jr. on piano. Richard Davis, well, actually Cecil McBee on this recording, on bass. Roy Haynes on drums. Richard Landrum, the late Richard Landrum on percussion, bongos in particular. Let's see, before that we heard What a Wonderful World. This is very similar, the same lineup for The Creator Has a Master Plan. But stay tuned. We'll get to the end, and I'll let you know about that. So do you know what you'll be playing at Dizzy's?
I'm sure we're going to do a Little B's poem.
Excellent.
Right. Little B's poem. He's a big B now.
Yeah. It was for his son.
It's for his son, yeah.
By the way, when did you start composing? Were you trained for that, or did you just, you know...
I just started trying to write stuff out, you know. I said, let me just start you know, put some notes on paper. You know, it just started from there when I was living in Brooklyn. I had a house over there on Midwood Street in Brooklyn. I used to go down to the basement, lock myself up down there and
by
the furnace and just try to write out some notes, and write out some melodies and things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to this place lately?
No, no, you were there, and I wasn't able to come that night.
Yeah.
We were somewhere. Oh, there was a tribute to Alambé Brath.
Oh, that's
and you were there that same night.
Yeah, that afternoon.
Well, that went into the evening, the tribute.
It went,
It went late, and so we had to go to sleep.
Alambé, oh, man, he's a walking library. He has so much information about Train and different musicians.
This is true.
Oh, God, he could just talk for hours about Train.
This is very true.
You know that.
He needs to get better. So we can look forward to seeing you at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola in January.
In January 13th.
Well, James Spalding, thank you for joining Sugar in My Bowl this evening.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Enjoyed it, definitely.
And we'll see you in January.
Okay, Joyce.
Right.
Have a good one. Peace and love to the family.
All right. Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, now.
And there we have it. There we have James Spalding on Sugar My Bowl. I need to get up out of here, get ready for Mass Backwards with Max Schmid. Happens every Monday at this time, but let me be quick and finish. The Louis Armstrong, creator has the master plan and What a Wonderful World. Some of the musicians on that release, which was produced by Bob Thiel on the Flying Dutchman label and released in 1970. James Spalding on flute, Kenny Burrell on guitar, Bernard Pretty Purdy on drums, Richard Davis and or George DeVivier on bass, and the whole production was arranged by Oliver Nelson. And after that we heard One, closed out with One. Leon Thomas, Spirits Known and Unknown, 1969 Bluebird. This was a Bluebird reissue. Leon Thomas on vocals and percussion. James Spalding on flute and alto sax on others. Lonnie Liston Smith, Jr. on piano. Richard Davis, Cecil McBee on bass. Roy Haynes on drums. Richard Landrum on bongos. And right now and throughout the program, we've been listening to the James Spalding Quintet Live, Blues Up and Over on Speed Tones Music, Speetones Music. Waiting for Max Schmid to make his way in. See you next month, third Tuesday, 2 a.m. Stay tuned to WBAI New York 99.5 FM.
Remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.